The Fan.
A little too late.
Freeze!
Well, it's a little too late.
What?
Sorry, I'm Marnie and I are over here crying, watching Ashley McBride videos. Holy moly.
Oh, man. Oh, look at you.
Man, I filmed it. Every time I watch it, it makes me cry.
Glad I stayed over here, that brace.
Goosebumps, and that was emotional.
Yeah. Anyway, Ashley McBride tonight with Dirks. Wow.
What Really Matters is brought to you by Cultivated CBD. Thanks, Cultivated CBD. I do scores and stats, and then Chris says something else.
I do. I say things.
The Royals beat the Twins 3-2 by giving up three runs in the eighth. Thanks, Duffy. That was good. The same two teams square off tonight at Target Field at 7:10. Brad Keller versus Bailey Ober. What really matters, though, is this.
Here's some things you don't know or maybe didn't know about Memorial Day. It's always observed on the last Monday of May, which, of course, is May 30th this year. It was called Decoration Day from 1868 to 1970, didn't become Memorial Day until 1971. That's also when we began observing it on the last Monday of May.
Didn't know that because I was born in 1980, and I'm pretty sure nothing happened before 1980.
I remember because I was born in 1970 saying to everybody, we should change the name of this.
Yeah.
In 1971, and luckily... they listened to a seven-month-old.
You know, speaking of thinking that nothing happened before you existed, the great Richard Oaknick once said, if there were dinosaurs outside, we wouldn't go play baseball, right? And it was his reference to not going into the ocean because sharks are there. The great Richard Oaknick always told me, also and always told me, that death was like 1976.
Yep.
And I said, explain that. And he goes, what year were you born? I said, 1980. He goes, exactly. You didn't care that 1976 existed, and you won't care after you're dead. And I'm like, thanks. The dude should just run for office.
Well, he sounds like a philosopher.
Yeah. Would he say that to someone born in 73?
No, then he would say that death is like 1957.
Okay.
Well, that's the truth.
It's 100% the truth. It's just it's a good reminder. That's what really the great Richard Oaknick was here for. And he's still here, but that's what he was here for, is just... make you think a little bit, right? Things that make you go,
I would love to have him on the Factory.
Is he in some high society?
Don't worry about what he is.
I need him to be on the Power Trip After Party.
Don't worry about it. He knows where he is, and that's all that matters.
Can we bring him in here?
Thanks. You're right. He would say no thanks. I guarantee it. He would say no thanks.
Yep. What really matters, though, is my turn, right?
Yeah.
The Hurricanes 3-1 over the Rangers. The Hurricanes lead that series now 3-2.
You are like a hurricane.
Yeah. They're playing absolutely incredible as long as they're at home.
Did you see the stat this morning, Mark Parrish, that in the history of the four major professional sports, they now have the second longest streak to start a postseason, 12 straight games where the home team has won every game.
It's incredible.
And, all 12.
There's a lot of people that have them picked to go all the way, but eventually to go all the way, they will not have home ice at some point. They're going to have to figure out a way to win at least one game on the road. Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a winner that has lost every single road game.
I forget what year it was, but the record is the Celtics had a 15-game streak where the home team won every game.
That's
15 straight.
That's incredible.
So the Hurricanes are at 12.
Yeah. Yeah, it is great that they're playing so well at home. They're fun, exciting, but they've got to figure out a way to win on the road, or they're not going to get by that Tampa Bay team.
What really matters, though, is this.
You're so right. The Department of Veterans Affairs says that Memorial Day is celebrated in late May because it's when flowers are likely to be blooming across the country. There is an exact moment of remembrance on Memorial Day. At 3 p.m. local time, we're supposed to pause and remember the brave men and women who died in our... We're supposed to pause and remember the brave men and women who died in service of our nation.
At 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, and I think that doesn't matter where you're at.
I feel really bad. I never heard that.
I did not know that.
I didn't know it either.
I feel like that should have been more well known.
Zach, on a daily basis, you pause and remember everything on 4:20.
Yes.
Could you bump that up 1 hour and 20 minutes on Monday, and just pause for 1 second, please?
Why not both?
Okay.
You can pause a couple times.
Okay.
Tonight, the Colorado Avalanche try to take out John Hamm's St. Louis Blues. That wouldn't be good for John Hamm if Top Gun Maverick debuts and his Blues get knocked out. He's
good chance, though.
Absolutely. The series 3-2.
There's kind of a real good chance. I'm impressed they got to game six against them. I just, if St. Louis can pull off one more win, I will be astonished that Colorado won the series.
What really matters, though, is this.
The Beagle song Taps is typically performed at military funerals as well as the annual Memorial Day wreath ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. It was adapted from a separate Civil War bugle call known as Scott Tattoo, which was used to signal lights out. Scott Tattoo.
Scott Tattoo was signaling lights out.
That's right. I don't know what, but that is a great name for a band. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yes, it does.
Scott Tattoo.
It is.
Have you guys ever been to a funeral where they played Taps?
Yes.
Holy man.
It gets you.
That is powerful. Gets you.
Yep, and it should be, right?
Yes, it should.
Right?
Josh Brolin appeared on the Thursday episode of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he answered a series of rapid-fire questions, and one of the questions was, quote, what do you think happens when we die? And somebody in the audience yelled, Goonies never say die.
Yeah,
that's great.
Genius.
At this point, Stephen Colbert got confused and admitted, I've heard about this Goonies movie. I've never seen it.
What?
Ooh.
So, Sauce and Stephen Colbert are the only two people on the planet that have never seen Goonies. Hmm. I agree. That is un-American.
How have you never seen Goonies?
I don't know. It seems like you have to actively try.
Yeah,
because
it's like on a lot, too. Just randomly watching TV, which I do a lot. It's just randomly on a lot.
It's that Saturday afternoon when Zach is watching Goodfellas.
Yeah, Saturday's Goonies and Sunday's Shawshank Redemption.
I guess Josh Brolin at some point said, you're the one. Oh. In terms of you're the one that's never seen it.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert.
Yes. That's a perfect line.
Yep.
Goonies.
What is the guy, the quote unquote monster?
Sloth.
And Sloth. Yeah, okay. And he's like introducing himself.
Barnes, thanks for listening to the show. Hawk's
thank
been
you
doing a sloth
so much, Marty.
For like a decade.
Thank you so much, Marty.
Robin Rooney.
Yep.
Hey,
that was a bit of a Scooby-Doo slash sloth.
What if we have a conversation? I'll be Mel and you be Sloth.
Oh, well.
And here with their Mel and Sloth impressions is the fans, Marty Gellner and Chris Hockey.
I saw what your name.
And dying in a way.
I don't want to keep going. I'm very uncomfortable.
Getting canceled.
Very uncomfortable. Yep. Very uncomfortable.
Let's wrap it up.
Sloth, man. Sloth was the man.
Yeah. John Matuszak, right?
Yeah,
is so much of my childhood. It's one of the best 80s movies. It's one of the best movies, but man, couldn't feel more 80s than Goonies.
No. Perfect.
Well, everything about
fun,
it, the music,
awesome.
The actors,
yep,
the bicycles they were riding,
yep,
every
the
part
everything
of it, the car they
it.
Were driving, everything. Mm. Oh, I loved it.
Hawk, what does it say about your impression if you've been doing the Sloth impression for 10 years and I did not know that's what you were doing?
Yeah, I know. I'm not good at it. I need to watch it again. It's been too long.
I'm just thinking of the line where he finally meets the kids and he's got like the candy bar and
he just yells,
you guys.
Baby roof. End, yep.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
That's it. But once I leave the baby roof and I lose it and I get offensive and I don't mean to.
Now I get it. It's hilarious.
Thanks. Baby roof.
Can't win.
And again, now I need to see that movie.
I don't know, Ma. I'm starting to like this kid.
I don't know.
such a good line.
I don't know about Kane Wynn, but it sounds like a song Kenny Chesney sang in 1989.
Tree in the Wind.
Whatever.
There's so many quotable lines from Goonies. That's my mom's favorite piece.
I didn't say
wasn't
it.
Bigger, wasn't. Is it my turn or your turn?
I don't know.
What really matters is this.
The tallest structure in the Western Hemisphere is a TV transmission tower in Blanchard, North Dakota.
Hmm.
You know where that's at?
I do not.
I do.
1,987 feet tall.
Married.
Blanchard. Wow. I thought I knew every town
in
North Dakota.
Yes, that's where the tallest TV tower in the world is.
Really?
Yes.
Is he joking just us? Said that.
No. You're joking us, right?
Did he just say that?
Dude, yes!
What the hell are you doing? Why are you here? You're not listening to the show. What are you doing that you're not
honestly,
listening to the radio show
that
you are on?
He literally
said almost every word you just said. That's why I said it. Why are you on the radio right now? You're not even listening.
I heard Blake.
No, you weren't listening.
No, you were not listening. No, that's what I just said.
Hey, that was my what really matters. What the hell is going on?
I heard Blake. Why can't I keep the joke going? For you, Zachary. I'm sorry.
Seriously, what were you doing instead of listening to the show that you're on?
I heard Blanchard, and then my head went to Wikipedia.
No, stop. You should hear every word that he's saying.
What are you doing right now?
Not just every seventh word?
What were you doing instead of listening?
Abbott texted me about Thielen, and I was responding to that.
Well, way to go, Chad. You ruined the show.
Yeah, way to go, Abbott.
You told us the talk back was the future of radio, and now you're distracting Zach.
You want to know what the population of Blanchard, North Dakota, in the 2010 census. Can I get the drum roll from the sound effects? The 2010 census, population of Blanchard, North Dakota, located south of Mayville, east of Findlay, where my daughter got her name, west of Hillsboro, you know the area.
Oh, yeah.
Northwest of Fargo. Population?
12.
110.
Zacho?
I know it.
25.
Close.
Seriously?
Really?
26.
20? Yeah, are you kidding?
God, I was kidding about the 12.
Wow. Is that the city that's got the massive TV antenna?
The what now?
No. I mean, I heard. No. I was listening.
Really?
No, I mean.
You don't have to be funny, man. It's okay to just listen. You don't have to add anything.
Man. Maybe we should just remove that chair from the studio. Or the computer or something.
Or
something.
The people.
If you guys
I don't believe in curses, but my God.
It's uncanny.
If you went from the Fargo Dome to Blanchard, if you guys have extra time tonight, 42 minutes.
Hard pass.
You could take a photo. You know, it's a three-day weekend.
It's the tallest structure in the world, Cor.
It's Western Hemisphere.
He said that part too.
Northwest of the Fargo Dome.
I can't take much more.
The news is next. Zach will listen to 13% of it right after this on the Fan.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Flash credit.
You're listening to The Fan.
It's three times in a row.
You got to stop crying during the commercial breaks.
Well, listen, if he doesn't have
Zach,
to listen.
Hey, what a performance. Oh, yeah.
Screaming.
He's crying.
I
kind of
feel heartless. I was the only one in there not crying, but that's awesome.
And
what
you don't have to know her story
or even appreciate
country music.
Yeah.
That's just someone who wanted to do something so badly.
I remember, I kind of told, like, that struck some chords. I remember plenty of people telling me about that in hockey. Too small, too slow.
How about her saying a teacher asked, like, when she was in high school, asked what she wanted to do when she grew up. And she said, you know, write songs and sing them. And she was like, that's terrible.
Nice teacher.
Marnie, what if Ashley McBride was on stage at the Grand Ole Opry? And the band starts playing, the crowd's ready. And then Ashley McBride is just staring out a window, and the stage manager is yelling, like, Ashley, you're on. What are you doing? This is your dream. And she goes, No, I knew I was supposed to do that. Zach, your dream was to be on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
You're on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry right now.
I know.
The band's playing, buddy.
Is that why you're crying?
The band is playing.
That's why you got teared up.
You know what's crazy about this moment, too, Hawk, with Zachary sitting in that chair and not listening?
What's that?
Is think of how much Sauce is loving the idea that we're dumping on Zach for not paying attention and being an idiot and being incompetent. But the joke is that we're comparing him to the guy that normally sits there.
Yeah.
That there's the curse of the Sauce seat.
There's a ghost in that chair.
There's something about that chair where you just don't pay attention. You're just reading BuzzFeed lists.
I was fine when I was over here. The
black hole for brain cells.
What were you doing?
Reading BuzzFeed.
It's a black hole for brain cells. That's a great line.
And that's the title of the podcast.
Black hole for brain cells.
That might be the Power Trip t-shirt.
This is your Ashley McBride moment, Zachary. The Power Trip Morning Show, major market morning radio. We have decent ratings.
Yeah.
This is the Grand Old Opry of Twin Cities Radio. Stand on the stage and pay attention.
I had a few teachers who also told me I wasn't going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't blame them. Statistically speaking,
a couple of bosses and a few coworkers.
Was it your math teacher specifically?
Yes, actually, 100%.
All right, it's time for the news.
This song, right?
Yeah, amen.
Like a sweet sunset in Georgia, let it go, Corey.
This is one of my top tens right here. Zach.
Like the fear that grabbed the hold, you let it go.
What?
What? This harmony right here.
La 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 la.
This is one of my top ten favorites.
Me too, man. The live version of this song?
Yes.
When he goes, like a sweet sunset in Georgia, let it go, and the crowd goes crazy because he's in Atlanta.
Yes.
This is
I love music, man.
Amen.
Chris Hockey,
I just love it.
Presented by the St. Paul Saints.
And I love the St. Paul Saints as well. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Top story for me this morning is the sellout last night at the Minnesota Aurora game. What a great night, and congratulations to everybody involved, Andre and everybody. Fantastic. The place was completely sold out, and Max, our guy Max, is the voice of the Aurora, the PA announcer. He sounded awesome.
Oh, I got to imagine
that. I actually was in the booth when he called his first ever goal, and I recorded it. It sounded
that's
really
awesome.
Good. He did a great job. What a cool thing.
So he went from the booth at Deja Vu.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he kept messing up where he was at, by the way, so I felt bad for him a couple of times.
That's tough on
Please welcome
players.
To the goal!
You can't keep playing crazy, bitch, Max. Come on.
No, it was a great night. So,
well
done,
everybody.
His
name had been Cinnamon.
Oh. Mercedes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway.
It was a great night. Nice job, buddy. That was good.
No,
that was
he really sounded great.
He really did, man. I was really happy for him. He was so nervous. I love it. He took it so seriously, and he was listening the whole time. He paid attention. The whole time.
He was engaged.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may have been wondering to yourself for the last, let me do some quick math, 1, 2, 3, about 300 years, was Elizabeth Johnson Jr. a witch? Now we know.
Yesterday, the Massachusetts State Senate voted to clear her name. Johnson was a 22-year-old woman living in North Andover when she got caught up in the trials along with more than 170 others. She wasn't executed, but never cleared. The effort to get Johnson finally exonerated was spearheaded by an eighth-grade class in Johnson's hometown. I'm Trey Thomas.
Hey, thanks, Trey. Luckily, she was not executed. But they never said she wasn't a witch, which must have made her real popular. But this eighth grade class in her hometown finally came to her defense. And again, in 1693, she was part of the Salem witch trials, and she's finally been exonerated. So good for you, Elizabeth.
Thank God.
I'm a little surprised they had a neutral stance on anybody back then.
That's what I mean. This person is
clearly not a witch, or they are. How do you get accused of being a witch and just... Let her walk.
The truth is, and I know this sounds like a wife's tale, but I'm almost positive this is true. And I think this is what you're going to say, Mark. They would tie a rock to you and throw you in the river.
Thank you.
And if you, of course, overcame that, then you were a witch. If you didn't, and you drowned and died, you weren't a witch, and they were sorry.
You read that line. Wait a minute. The truth. Yeah, like if you're not a witch, you're supposed to be dead.
And if it's not true, please don't tell me because I love that story.
I do too.
Well, I hate it, but I love Elizabeth. I don't know. Somehow they just let her go.
She must have been a witch.
What if she's listening right now?
Yeah.
I didn't think that eighth grade class figured it out. She's the ghost in the classroom.
There are two things I know about white people.
Go ahead, buddy.
They love Rachel Ray.
True.
And they are terrified of curses.
It's true. He's right. He's right about that. He's right about that.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyway.
All right. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, good for you, Justin. I'm so glad for you. Here's a strange one for you. Five men are facing charges after a bizarre home invasion in New Jersey Wednesday evening. Authorities say the suspects were shouting at police officers when they arrived at the scene, admitting that they did break into the home and did assault the family. But here's the rest of the story. The investigation revealed the group tied up a man and a woman at the home, took away their cell phones, and then started changing the locks on the front door. Turns out, the victim, male, was able to get to his phone, called 911. When the cops got there, the men said they were hired by the actual owner of the home to evict the tenants. And this is how they decided to do it. So they tied them up and then changed the locks on the door. And apparently they were going to let them go afterwards, but they just weren't going to be able to get back in. They were evicted. Mm-hmm. This was not the right way to do it.
No, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And by the way, what an awful job of tying them up. These are just bad. I mean,
terrible at their job.
Don't let them have a cell phone. Tie them up properly.
Yeah, bad knot makers.
Yeah, exactly.
Boy Scouts. Yeah. Come on, let's go.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I wish I knew how to tie knots. That's probably something I could do these days. Like I always say to myself, I want to learn a new language. That's impossible. Come on. But I could learn to tie a knot, I bet. I do it on accident with my shoestrings all the time.
I was going to say, I can tie a knot. I have no idea which knot I'm tying.
Yeah, no, that's exactly
but that
right.
thing ain't coming out.
Check this out. What's the oldest dog you guys ever had before they passed away? Because a Rosie dog lived to be 14.
That's what Guinness is right now.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow.
I think Zero was 10, but I don't think I had a dog younger, or when I was younger, that lived longer than 10.
Right. Anybody else, Marnes?
No.
Have you never had a doggy?
No, like when I was real little that I don't remember, so
wow.
I'll say 10.
Why do you hate dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your deal with dogs? You don't like dogs?
No, I am.
You're anti-dog.
No. As a matter of fact, we went to my friend's house who had the 7 little Frenchies to see
seven?
Them.
Seven.
Are you thinking about it?
Boys.
Are you thinking about it?
Nope. They were all already adopted.
I got a story about that, by the way.
And we saw them. They're going to all their forever home.
Aww.
They're all going today. So we were there on Wednesday.
Is there anything cuter than a French bulldog puppy?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
One of them, they named Yoda because they all have the ears, but this one, they were real spread and it was so cute.
Yeah, they're the best.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Zacho?
The dogs.
Oh, dear God. You know what? Mic's off. Turning the mic on. You're not listening. What can you?
I literally just got back.
What? Where did you go?
I had to go pick up our guest.
Is he heavy?
I could actually look up his official weight. I don't know.
Anyway, okay, I apologize for yelling at you for that one, but it was par for the course that you had no idea what I was talking about.
It was pretty funny.
Pick up our guest. Who's our guest?
The
one and only Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
But he's not here. So
he'll be in with us in a second.
Yeah.
He had another appointment.
Yeah.
Got it. I see what you're saying. So he is in the building.
He is.
Yeah. Okay. So by the next segment, he should be here.
Yeah.
Got it.
The reason I bring it up is a South Carolina doggy named Pebbles now holds the record for the oldest dog in the world. The toy Fox Terrier from Taylor's was awarded the accomplishment at the age of 22 years and 59 days.
That's a huge bitch.
Yeah.
Well Holy done, doggy.
Her owner, Julie Gregory, says Pebbles is like a wild teen who loves to sleep during the day and then stay up all night. See, I would put that dog down.
Jeez.
My goodness.
I'm joking. hey, I did hear this the other day.
That's 154. If you do dog years times 7.
Yeah. I wonder why that is the deal, by the way. Why do you think they do that? Why is 7 the number there, I wonder?
I assume it's just average life expectancy,
yeah,
right?
Most that, dogs
the average human lives to be about 80, right?
Right.
Late 70s, I think is essentially the average. Then I figure they probably have similar life paths
now,
if you times it by 7.
If you are a veterinarian, you're listening, and I'm wrong about this, feel free to email me, hawk@kfan.com. But this is what I've been told, and maybe you guys already know this. Apparently, a female puppy dog can be impregnated by multiple dogs at the same time.
And the challenge accepted.
And the dog, listen, this is the truth, dude. And you're my dog.
Oh.
But, But apparently, like, they have different placenta sacs for each daddy. So you could have a doggy that has 8 puppies, 2 of them from one dad, 2 of them from one dad, 2 of them.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That's crazy.
Yes.
No.
Like, you can have 4 different, so they could be literally in the same birth and have different dads. Okay, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I was told.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened with our dog, our second dog. Because we're big fans of,
did
like...
Did one of them look like you?
Oh, stop.
Wow.
Corey!
Yeah.
I need to know if this is true.
Well, because we like Shih Tzu Yorkie mixes.
Hey,
They're called Shorkies. And so we were going to get a second one, and we love Puck, but there's definitely some Chihuahua. There's not much Yorkie in him. There's more Chihuahua in him, and I think his mom was just kind of a whore.
See, Parrish, you owe me $100 because I won the bet.
Yeah?
Remember I told you like 2 weeks ago, I bet you anything Zach's into Shorkies.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when you said that. I didn't know what he was talking about.
I didn't either.
I get it. Yeah.
Mark didn't either. That's why I made the bet.
It's not a real thing. I got to win that bet.
Apparently, Hawk, you are... Correct.
How about
According to the Google, female dogs can be mated by more than one dog during their fertile period, meaning a mixture of sperm is present and waiting to fertilize her eggs when she ovulates. The technical term for this is superfecundation.
Yep, that's right. I heard that once.
Superfecundation.
Like, great name for a band.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Well, can you imagine?
Like sperm survive for days in her tract. So,
of course.
Okay. Wow.
Can you imagine the dog version of Maury Povich?
You are the, and so are you.
So are you.
You're the father.
That's like, an interesting thing, though, right? Because they go into heat and like anybody, you know, come on over.
I'm a bitch.
Well played, sir. Man, that's a crazy thing.
That's nuts. It's nuts.
That is a crazy thing.
The nogs?
Yeah, I want the nogs.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so there. I blew your minds. Yay.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. Okay, there you go.
I don't know if I wanted to know that.
I think it's interesting.
No, I mean, knowledge is good, but I'm going to try to delete that from my memory. Okay. Then the next time you tell me that, I'll be surprised again.
Well, good. Don't worry. We don't sleep much. That'll happen.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, my final story of the day is something that I got to find a way to work into the weekend. I'm hoping Sunday night, maybe, when we get back from the Black Hills. Top Gun Maverick, expected to make $180 million worldwide this weekend. The global release of the highly anticipated Top Gun sequel is expected to give Tom Cruise, as I said yesterday, his best worldwide opening of his career.
That's actually saying a lot.
It really is.
We talked about it yesterday.
That's shocking.
Oh, man. All the Mission Impossible.
Yep.
Rain Man.
12 years in the making.
And they filmed it, what did he tell us, in 2017 to 2018? And it's just now coming out.
Wow.
A 97% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, even as this morning. I never would have guessed that this film, even if I knew it would probably be a big deal, I would never guess it would be so well respected, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
I want to see him explain to Goose's son why he threw his dad's dog tags into the ocean.
Yeah.
I didn't like that scene when I first saw it.
Why did you do it?
And he does
now
it with
he's
vigor.
Now, yeah, like now he's got some explaining to do.
Yeah, why are you doing that, buddy?
Why did you throw my dad's dog tags in the ocean? I would have liked those.
That might have been something I'd like to have.
It was a big part of the movie, too. Is it like, 5 seconds?
Probably more than that, because I believe there was music playing at the time. May have been the song.
Looking forward to that.
Anyway.
97% on Rotten Tomatoes. If you didn't hear me say this yesterday, what do you think the original score is on Rotten Tomatoes? The 1986 classic, Top Gun.
Here's the problem, Corey. I didn't hear you say yesterday. I have no idea what it was.
You know dogs can get impregnated by more than one father at the same time?
No way!
I'm going to say 78.
If you tell me there's a tall tower in North Dakota 89. Next, I'm going to lose my mind.
Is it 89?
89. I'm going 89.
Yeah, I'm 90. Yeah.
You look great for your age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Top Gun from 1986 has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 55.
What?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No way!
Sounds about right.
55.
Audience?
This one is 97. Audience score is 83.
There was gratuitous male nipple. Huh? Gratuitous. They took their shirts off a lot.
Really?
And there's no way playing volleyball in jeans.
He heard that.
Okay, so speaking of shirtless men.
What is that? He's listening to that.
So one of the shirtless men in 1986's Top Gun is Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Val's in this somehow, correct?
He definitely is. Yes, okay. it's a big part of it, apparently.
But Val Kilmer also was in Willow.
How about
this? Oh, my Lord, Willow.
So we've talked the last handful of months that they were going to do a Willow series for Disney Plus. But I believe, I saw the trailer yesterday. I believe it debuted yesterday. I can't tell if it's good or not. It looks pretty solid.
Yeah.
I like Willow more than the average person. It was a huge part of my childhood as well. I thought the movie was badass because it came out when I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
If Disney pulled this off, doesn't you watch the trailer, I assume, Chris?
I haven't seen the trailer yet. No, I just read the story.
The trailer looks like somebody at Disney said, what if we do Game of Thrones for kids?
Really?
That's what it looks like they're going for.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if they pulled it off or not, but it looks like they just said, let's make Willow the universe of Thrones for kids. I don't know if it's gonna work.
Hopefully it's more family friendly.
And you know what,
I hope the opposite.
Here's the weirdest thing ever.
Let's go, Disney+.
I just opened YouTube and guess what one of the first things is?
Ashley McBride tattoo.
The Willow trailer.
Yep.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's one of the first things that just popped up.
Watch it and let me know what you think.
I will.
See if it's the kids version of Game of Thrones. Power Trip Morning Show back at this on the fan.
She's everything I want to say to a woman, but I couldn't find the words to say. She got whatever it is. I don't know what to do.
It's 7:31. The studio cleared out during that break. What happened? Did somebody fart or throw up?
Zach continues to just monitor another studio waiting for Adam Thielen to come out of
it. Okay, I understand that, and that's fine. I get that.
Parrish was watching the Willow trailer with you.
Yes.
Which, by the way, wow.
It looks cool.
It looks super cool.
I don't know if my kids are going to watch it, but I am.
I don't know what Marty's doing. I never know what she's doing.
We never know what you're doing, Marty. What were you doing?
Yeah, right now?
Where do you go a lot. You go away a lot. Is it something I said?
Usually I go get a coffee. Today. Right there, I went to the ladies' room. Thanks. Oh.
For coffee?
No.
she goes second generation. That's her favorite.
Oh.
She didn't get all the caffeine out of it the first time. I know that's grody. I'm sorry. That was grody.
Yeah, you don't want a cold brew. I get it.
It was grody. I actually brought in my McDonald's vanilla iced coffee from yesterday, because I order it with no ice, and I take it home, put it in the fridge. It's like brilliant. My next day's coffee. Yeah. So I brought that in this morning.
That is a brilliant move on your part. You talked about it before, and that's so smart.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'd heard that Starbucks was going to start using frozen coffee as its ice cubes, but it never really took off. This was like a year ago or 2 years ago or something, and I was like, oh, finally. And then nobody ever does, and now if I get an iced coffee and I want to drink it, then I have to drink it quickly because otherwise it becomes watered down iced coffee.
So when you stopped at McDonald's, You stopped for today?
Yeah.
Like you went like, I'm going to stop and get a coffee now, but I don't want it.
Because yesterday I drank Wednesday's coffee. I mean, I don't get one every day, but usually when I get one, it's for
the next
day. Or later, like if I get one on the way home today at 9:30, I might have half of it at like noon or 1 o'clock when it's cold. It's cold,
do you put it in the fridge?
Yeah, back of the fridge.
Right. Oh, okay.
Sometimes freezer for half an hour to jumpstart the process.
Interesting.
But back of the fridge, and then I might pour some out over ice to really make it cold. And sometimes I just drink it out of the fridge cold. But I love iced coffee much better than I like hot coffee. Don't know why, but I do.
All right, you're fascinating. You have somehow concocted a plan to always drink yesterday's coffee, which is interesting, but to impress to impress us, though, you got to find a way to drink tomorrow's coffee.
Ooh. Now that would be, you're going to need Willow for that, I believe.
You're going to need Elon Musk, I think, for that. You're going to need a DeLorean for that.
Can I tell you, if you can
figure out that, Marnes, get back to us.
Can I tell you my thing that I like to do?
Yes, please do.
I like to go to a coffee joint of any kind, order myself an iced coffee of my choice, and also order a small Americano. And then as I drink the iced coffee, I pour the iced Americano in there and continue the caffeination joy.
So your Americano is also iced?
No.
Okay, it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot because it's then when I pour it in, it melts the ice and I get way more coffee.
So you're doing exactly the opposite
of me.
Exactly
the opposite.
You are making your ice melt.
Yeah.
And watering down your coffee as fast as possible.
As fast as possible.
Because
I like coffee. A lot of it. And at this
point, are you using the Americano because it's becoming so iced or so watered down?
No, because it's so full of caffeine.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
But I also need a little bit of taste to it. But I don't need the calories. So I get a small with calories, and the Americano has no calories. And I pour that in there, and I have less calories, but all the caffeine.
Okay, so there, we all have the reasons.
That's right.
Yeah.
We do weird things, but we have reasons. Caribou, Caribou came out with a crafted vanilla.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh, that's so good. Yeah. Crafted vanilla press, I think the color is something like that.
Cold, yeah. Oh. Crafted vanilla. Ice crafted vanilla cold press.
Yeah.
Holy S.
Yeah, holy S is right. I know. I don't know, man. I love it.
How do I drink tomorrow's coffee?
Come again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know an answer to your question.
It's weird to think about something where you can't even get your thought off the ground because there's nowhere to start.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel you.
Yeah.
And it's almost like time's linear.
You know.
But it's not.
Hey, Court, I'm going to hit
this. High?
I don't know. It's that chair. Hey, I'm going to hit the Fan 5 open. Can I do the first story?
Of course.
It's time for Fan 5 on the Power Trip, brought to you by the St. Paul Saints.
So I love the Athletic, and I love the Saints, and they're all athletic. That's my tie-in, I'm sure. Maybe there's one guy who plays for the Saints who's not athletic, and they make fun of him, but I don't think so.
Yeah, he's the running joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or the unable to run joke.
Exactly. Yeah.
Today, Jason Lloyd wrote a fantastic deep dive about a simple question. How many baseballs are used in a single Major League Baseball game?
What is your guess?
Okay.
A lot. I mean, every time a pitcher throws one in the dirt or something, like, they get a new ball.
Right.
Foul ball.
Holy cow.
All right. There are... I'm trying to do the math here. Hang on.
27 out.
I'm trying to figure out, let's say 13. There are 250 pitches a game.
I'm guessing 50.
Give or take.
I don't know.
And I would guess a new ball is in play every, three-ish pitches?
Yeah, I'm going 50.
I'm
going
to say 74.
Marnes?
It's got to be 92.
Because it's constant. Yeah. You see that catcher, like, every time a pitch is, he throws it away.
It's the foul balls.
I was thinking, per out, it was like maybe like two lost balls per out, but that doesn't even seem like enough because of that.
Yeah.
Is it in the 90s?
This one game, and again, you know, we don't have the exact average, but at this one game, which was an average baseball game, he counted every ball that they used. 115.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was one game. So he did
That's
the math. They had 11 games on the schedule on that night, Thursday night. So that meant 1,265 baseballs in one night.
Let's see if Thielen, who just walked in, let's see how close he gets to this guess, because he did not hear the answer. Adam Thielen, in a standard baseball game, how many balls do you believe are used? We're counting foul balls, balls that the catcher just hands to the ump and the ump throws away. What would you say in an average baseball game? Number of baseballs used.
This is an MLB game?
Yes.
This was an MLB game?
Yeah, this was Cleveland versus somebody. Guardians versus Tigers.
Okay.
My guesstimate would be 78.
Ooh, that was almost exactly what I guessed.
Yeah. 115.
Wow, I was going to say 100, but I thought that was...
Yeah, so again, 11 games that night, that meant in that one night, baseball, Major League Baseball, used 1,265 baseballs.
Rawlings loves that.
Oh, can you imagine? Excluding spring training and the playoffs, there's 2,430 games per year. So a calculator told this gentleman, that's 279,450 baseballs a season. The official Major League Baseball made by Rawlings lists for $24.95. For one ball?
Well, $25 a ball?
An official MLB.
When did that happen?
Wow.
I have a feeling the MLB is not paying them.
No. Wow. As a matter of fact, they're charging Rawlings the name to be used in Major League Baseball.
But if they were buying those, it would be $7 million worth of baseballs a year. But anyway, that's pretty interesting. 115, and that was that one game, but it was he said it was an average baseball game.
And out of the 115, wow. I would say about six of them are drunk adults who refuse to give a foul ball to a kid who's crying 3 feet in front of them.
It's how about throwing the home run back?
Yeah.
If you're not
a fan
at Wrigley,
yeah,
right. Yeah. Where that's a thing, or like Yankees or something. Even the fans at Target Field, and I've seen it many times, if an opponent hits a home run, somebody catches it in left field, and they're like, throw it back. It could be a middle of the summer, insignificant game, and people are pressuring someone to throw it back. I'm like, that's a home run ball.
Yeah, you give it to a kid.
Yeah, give it to a kid. That's exactly
100%.
Right.
Every, you'll throw it on the field.
You hand it to the closest kid.
Every time.
The most excited one.
He threw it back.
But it is their one moment to shine. Like, yeah, the crowd goes nuts.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like,
true.
Yeah, caught up in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that reminds me. And by the way, good morning, Adam Thielen.
Hi, Adam.
Hey, good morning.
It's good to see you.
I'm
man.
So
thanks
glad
for
that
by.
You're really far away and through a glass.
Yeah,
that makes things a lot better.
They don't like me, and they don't like the way I smell. Let's just be honest, okay?
Makes sense.
And again, we'll talk a lot about the Thielen Foundation charity softball game, which happens on Tuesday. Excited to talk to you about that. Man, you got a lot of names playing. But did you guys see the picture of Tiger Woods taking the golf swing, and every person behind him is taking a picture with their phone?
Yes, yeah, except one guy.
Except for the one guy holding the beer.
Just enjoying the moment.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about, Adam?
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, great
I
shot,
love
right?
that guy.
His name is Mike Ratatic, and Michelob Ultra was smart enough to reach out to him. He now has an endorsement deal.
Yes, he does. It's been absolutely crazy. Something that's been unbelievable. Never in my wildest dreams did I think, standing there watching Tiger Woods hit a shot and me holding a beer, that it would turn into this. It's been a lot of fun, but it's been crazy.
They're promising me, as they said, copious amounts of beer and merchandise and the copious potential amount to go to other PGA events. So I am waiting. So we'll see what happens.
How cool is that? It's a great shot, because he couldn't look more like somebody I grew up with in that moment, you know, or even myself, just standing there holding a beer. The only person actually watching the swing.
Yeah.
Just standing there as opposed to having his phone out. That's great.
I just love the fact that he, well, everyone else, like, do they really care about anything other than this picture that they're getting, like this video?
Right.
I just don't get that. Like, they literally are, some of these people are going to these events not to actually watch professional athlete. Like, they're going there just to get, like, a selfie picture so they can be like,
yeah,
did you see where I was this weekend? Yeah. Like,
and put it on their Instagram.
I mean, it's great that at least they're like going to the game and spending money, but
I've done that a couple times. I've gone there and like, oh, I got to get a video of this. I got a picture of it. And then never look at it again. Never show it to anyone, anything. So yeah,
I'm the guy
with the Michelob Ultra
go back and scroll in my photos to try to delete some to make memory or create more memory. And then I'll look and I'll be like, I have not, like, there's a video, like, from a Sugarland concert or something. I'm like, I've never looked at this since. No. Why did I think I need to video?
In the moment, though.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
Adam, you had to have it.
Adam, there's people out there that believe that if you go on vacation, if you go to a concert, if you go to a sporting event, that if you don't post it, you didn't attend it. It didn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you can have it exist without taking a selfie.
I will say, on the defense of the other side would be, I know there's times where I'm the person that I want to be in the moment. So if I'm at a Timberwolves game, I'm like watching the game and I'm not taking videos, but my wife is the one who like, we got to get a picture. We got to get that memory. And I will say, like, looking back, I'm like, oh, I'm glad she did that, because now I have that memory, or a vacation, you know,
especially if your kids,
with the family. So I'm glad that she does that. But, I just like to, just to be present.
But if you're following Tiger Woods at any golf event, if you're 15 feet from Tiger, I totally get it. Like, I want to take a video or a picture of, look at how close I got to Tiger Woods. Filming him for 18 straight holes is different, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
maybe beer guy here had a bunch of Tiger
balls.
In that moment, he's like, I got my Tiger memorabilia. Now I'm just going to watch the guy play golf. Then he stood out because everybody else wanted their 5,000th video of
Tiger. The look on his face makes me think he doesn't know where his phone is at that point. It may be in a urinal somewhere.
Are you telling us you are not going to take photos or video tonight at a 311 concert?
Maybe one or two, and that's it.
Yeah.
I'm locked in.
Okay.
I'm going to be hanging out with Parrish. Parrish and I are going to arms around each other. We're going to be bonding, Marnie.
We're going to Fargo tonight, Adam.
I heard. I was listening on the way in. I heard some good stuff. But I did hear you guys are going to Fargo, which is great.
Yeah.
We were there last week.
Back-to-back weekends.
Lucky. I was up there last weekend. Good old Fargo. Dome.
Not stopping by Detroit Lakes on the way up there.
Maybe, but we are in Detroit Lakes in what? A little under two months. Water Carnival.
Water Carnival in July?
Yeah, July. Yeah. What's the date? We're there the 14th? We're there the second Friday. We normally kick it off on the first Friday. This year, I'm in Vegas that week, so they were nice enough to bump it back. And Chris, you're playing...
Yeah, Fabulous Armadillos are playing after we're done broadcasting that night in the evening.
So we're there on whatever that is, the 15th. Power Trip's there that morning, and then Chris is there that night.
That's right.
Detroit Lakes. Speaking of you, Adam Thielen, Danny Woodhead is apparently extremely good at golf. Former Patriots running back. Did he play for other teams too? I think maybe he did.
Chargers?
Maybe the Chargers, yeah. I guess he's on the brink of being a U.S. Open competitor. And when he made some cut a couple of weeks ago to advance to keep getting closer to the U.S. Open, somebody threw out the idea like, all right, we've seen Romo make a run at this. Now Danny Woodhead's making a run at this. What other professional athletes have a shot to make a run at the U.S. Open in the future? And your name popped up that Thielen could just quit football and make a run at golf. Is that accurate?
That is my second career possibility. Like, you know, I'm getting close to the end. So I'm thinking about, you know,
you mean your career, right?
Yeah. Hopefully.
Thank you for clarifying.
Hopefully, yes, thank you. But I've been thinking about, you know, post-career, what am I going to do? And I would love to make a run at golf and just see what would happen. I got no risk, right? Like, if I don't make it, who cares? Like,
how far away, in the same spot. How realistic is it? I mean,
not realistic.
Not even making it?
I'm very delusional. I'm very delusional. Like, I think I could play in the NBA. Like, I literally think that I could. But the PGA, I mean, it's just, golf is so hard. It's just ridiculous. And I'm a mental midget, and golf is not for me.
Sure.
I'm with you, man.
What's your all-time similarities and athletes in this room here?
Yeah, you can.
Okay. What's your all-time best score on any course?
Salsa like this, I shot 69.
Yes. Really?
Par 72?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's legit.
That's really
good.
How often are you playing?
Weekly?
That's the tough part. You know, three kids and an 11-month-old. It's tough to get out there. But we spent the whole offseason in Florida, so that helped.
Yeah.
I was on the range every single day.
Yeah.
For at least 15, 20 minutes, played once or twice a week.
How far can you drive it?
That is my strength. I tend to hit high hellacious bombs.
Yeah. Hellacious.
I've seen you off the tee. I've seen you off the tee, and the reaction from people watching in person is he just swings it like violently and hits it pure and straight, and people go, whoa.
I'm a bit of a meathead, so like I want to be like this smooth, like just hit it in the fairway, you know, tee to green guy. But I get to like the top of my golf swing and I'm like, nah. And I just attack. And it can be good or bad, right?
Like, yep.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out exactly where you are, because you said it's not realistic, but then you're shooting 69. That's a number that if you had, all the stars align.
And you're playing pro-ams, tournament, like legit pro-ams at Pebble Beach type courses.
I think for me, it would be like one of those things where I'd have to like commit to it for like a year. Like, I'm gonna practice every day, I'm gonna treat it like it's football, like it's my job, for a whole year, and then I could give an answer. Like, at that point I could be like, okay, like I feel like I'm right there. But until I do that, I have no idea. I just don't know. It's so hard to be consistent. I can do it once, I can hit shots, I can hang with some of those guys for a few holes, but like to do it for 18 holes, four rounds,
it's
a grind. It's a mental grind.
Yeah, you know, speaking of mental grinds, and I wanted to say this, Corey, on the air, I never would have guessed that having a professional gambler on the after party would have been as interesting as yesterday's was.
Yeah, Blake.
Blake was great.
Blake was on.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and if you guys get a chance, and Adam, the reason I bring it up is because everything he talked about had very little to do with actually playing cards. It had to do with mentally testing yourself against your opponents and trying to figure out what they're doing without even knowing what your cards are. It's fascinating, but the mental aspect, that's hard. That's the hardest part of every sport, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I think I think the individual sports, it just amplifies it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, team sport, you can rely on your teammates. You can have a bad play and someone can make it up, you know, a good block or a good throw, or, you know, they can kind of make up for maybe not a good route or something like that, where you hit a bad tee shot and now you are penalized really badly for it. And then the first thing you're thinking about on that next tee box is like, oh, shoot, I miss really bad right. I can't do that again. And now you miss really bad left. So yeah. It's a tough game. But the ones that are, I mean, that's why Tiger, right, when in his heyday was so good, because he mentally was so far ahead of everybody that he just he killed people with his mental game.
So we made that analogy yesterday on the after party with Tiger Woods into poker, that before Tiger, right, golfers were overweight and out of shape, but they just were very skilled. Tiger came in and he started to show the world you can be ripped and focused and look like an athlete, not just an old school golfer. And what we were talking about with Blake yesterday in the after party is that now every poker player has a mental coach or a life coach. It's all about, it's not about coaching you in the moment of poker. It's just coaching you to be calm and focused. Do you have a ton of that in the NFL? Do a lot of you have these Zen master coaches that have nothing, they don't have any knowledge of football. They're just getting in your head, like personal psychologists almost.
There is access to that if you want it. I've used a little bit of that in the past. That's actually really helped me. I still use a lot of the stuff I learned in college to this day. We had a sports psychologist that came in once a week, gave us tools to use in the mental side of the game. And I use it frequently. And without it, you know, it's one of those things where, like, a lot of times you maybe don't even know you're doing it. But when you realize the things that you do that help you perform at a high level, you can be more consistent. You can do it before games. You can really be you have like a plan. Right. And so that's what I've kind of done. I probably should honestly take advantage of the resources more and just be more on top of it weekly. Because it does help. It is crazy.
It probably helps in life, too, not just sports.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of those things you take to life, especially when you have kids. It gets a little crazy and stressful. Yeah. Yeah.
I get the idea that it's a madhouse in your home all the time, Adam. Every time we talk to you, you're talking about the twins. And it just seems like that they are a movie that should be filmed. A documentary should be made about them.
The twins?
Well, I don't have twins, but do you know something that I don't know?
The twins.
It's two boys.
It's the twins baseball team.
Not twins.
Yeah, it's two boys.
Well, I thought you meant the
baseball. I was thinking twins, too.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean it as if they were. But they're very nasty to each other.
Yeah, they are. The two boys are crazy. They definitely have taught me patience. Because it's like, man, the other day I'm like, Asher, I'm losing my patience. So, like, if you could just, like, I've been trying really hard to be, like, calm and just gentle. And so now I kind of tell him, like, hey, like, I'm about to lose my cool. So if you could shape up, that'd be great. But no, it's a blast. It keeps.
Oh, it's the best, right?
Yeah, it's there's so nothing fun. Better. It's super hard in the moment. But you look back at it and it's like, man, there's nothing better.
And how many times do you lay in bed at night going, I was probably a little too hard on my dad came out of me in a second there.
Yeah, but your parents did it to you.
That's what I mean. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You can't help it.
You just try to do the right thing.
Circle of life.
And then you talk to your mental coach, your Zen coach, and they tell you take it down a notch.
Yeah, right. Let's do this real quick.
It's time for Vikings News on the Power Trip, presented by
Radco. Thank you, Radco.
Perfect timing. Thanks to Radco Vikings News with Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Adam, the line in Vegas, the over-under for wins for the year for the Vikings, 2.5. Should we take the over or the under?
2.5?
2.5 wins.
There's no way.
I'm kidding. No, I'm joking. I think it's something like 9.5.
I think that's
it's
the number,
right around 500. So I think they're kind of thinking you guys are going to run it back and be about the same. Your thoughts?
I would bet heavy on the over.
Is that right? Shocking.
So far, so good. It's that time of year, right?
Yeah, for sure.
We haven't played a game. Excuse me.
You get choked up when you talk about the Vikings. Geez. We get it. Yeah,
bad timing.
The same way.
No, I mean, it's that time of year. We're super excited. New leadership. You know, it's everything's fresh in the building. It's exciting. We have a lot of the same guys coming back, a lot of talent, added a lot of great pieces in the draft and free agency. So I feel really confident about where we are. At the same time, if you asked me the same question the last 9 years, I'd probably be in the same spot because it's just one of those, it's just that time of year, right? But there is, I will say, there is a difference in the building right now. The leadership that has been put in place, and then the collaboration between the leadership. I was telling someone the other day that there's people in the building right now that I knew who they were, but I didn't know how good they were at their job until now because of good leadership. When you put good leadership in place, I feel like it allows people to be really good or to be their best, right? And so that's just one example of, you know, kind of how excited I am because there's been a lot of people that have been amplified because of the culture that's being put in place right now.
Hmm. By the way, the actual number is nine.
DraftKings
has a 9 and 8.
That's really cool.
That's good to hear, though. Yeah. That's the perception from the outside. But again, we don't know what's going on. We're just trying to live vicariously through you guys.
And are a lot of people around right now?
Yeah, players. Everyone. Okay. Yeah.
It's OTAs,
yeah. No, it's
right?
Good. It's it's OTAs.
Are some of them voluntary though?
So it is voluntary. It's voluntary.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
You know, like you technically wouldn't have to be there. Some guys. I think with like the new system, it's a ton of learning right now. It's like a whole different language to us. So it is valuable to be here right now. And then just like, you know, learning the new guys and whole new training staff. Like I said, just leadership, pretty much every like big leadership position has changed. So just trying to figure that out. It's been great. And to be around the guys again, there's nothing better than that. You kind of forget, when you're in the off season, you know, during the season, you're kind of like, oh, you're ready to go on, do your own thing. And then like maybe 15 days of being around three kids, you're like, hey, I think I should probably go back to work. So it's good to be around the guys and meeting a lot of the new people, kind of figuring that, you know, those relationships out. And it's been good.
Again, Thielen Foundation, a celebrity softball game is this coming 31st here. What is that? Monday?
Tuesday,
exactly. And everybody basically from the team is coming to play. We'll give you all the information about that. Tickets are available at ThielenFoundation.org. What surgery did you have, and are you completely recovered?
Yeah, I had ankle surgery. They call it a tightrope surgery, where they drill through the bones, they tie the bones together. So that was not fun.
Ow.
But I feel fantastic. The guy who works on my body, he basically said, like, I'm glad you had it, because basically it's locked in now. You can't have a high ankle sprain. Like, it's the bones are tied together. They're not separating, and they're not tearing anything. So it's a good thing now, looking back at it. I'm super excited to feel good. It's been nice to be on the field again, just run around, being myself, and not have to worry about my ankle.
It doesn't change anything about the way you run or anything like that to have that kind of surgery?
No, thankfully we have, it's the NFL. We have pretty great resources to rehab and do all that. And it's actually, as invasive as it sounds, it's probably one of the easier surgeries, or one of the fastest recovery surgeries to come back from. And I had great people around me to help, cause I don't think you always feel this good this quickly. But great people around me that, and then with the new staff and everything that have really helped me feel 100% quickly.
So last year with Kubiak, I think it was about halfway through the year, and when doing fan line or just listening to fans complain or talk about the team, it would be like, all right, we can't really tell what Clint's bit is, right? We don't know what this team's offensive identity is. The numbers were fine, right? You guys were being productive, but we were looking for, like, what is his distinct feel for an offense? How quickly do you think we're going to see Kevin O'Connell's influence as a fan? How quickly will we notice a significant change in the offense?
The first day you come to training camp?
Really? Wow.
As soon as you see the offense, you'll notice.
That's exciting.
That's awesome. Yeah.
the movement or
it's a system. It makes sense. So when you watch it, it's super complex, but when you watch it, when you feel it, when you play it, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Wow. Super exciting.
Yeah, it is. Really? It is because it's right. I'm in year 10 and it's gave me new life. because it's like I said, it makes sense. When I study it, when I am listening to the installs, when I'm out on the field, it all makes sense. It looks the same. It acts the same. It feels the same. And for a receiver, that's exciting because you can make stuff look exactly the same. So now the DB is like, okay, he's giving me that same exact release. He's giving me that same exact stem. And there's like 10 different routes that could come off it. So it's great for me because I can just make everything feel, look, act the same. And then at the top of route is where it's different.
That's fascinating, man. That is exciting. Let's start today.
Let's go. Now you know why I woke up at 5:50. My alarm was set at 6 o'clock the other day because I'm just excited to go to work and feel the new offense and get out there and get on the field. For me, it's tough to like sit in a classroom and just like, okay, we got I right, 16. You know, it's just for me, I got to be on the field doing it, feeling it, and it's been fun to do that.
That's so cool. Again, that is Adam Thielen, and he is in to play the initials, but also to talk about the Thielen Foundation charity softball game, which happens Tuesday down at CHS Field. Like, there's so many. I could CJ Hamm, Garrett Bradbury. It's the offense versus the defense playing softball and having just a great time down at CHS Field. Tickets are available at ThielenFoundation.org. And it all, of course, goes to just so many great things that you guys are doing with the foundation. Gates open at 4:30. Home Run Derby is at 6. And the actual game is at 7.
And somebody lost their mind because they asked Sauce and myself to be the MCs and just rip everybody.
Yeah, right.
That's a huge mistake. Huge mistake. We're going to just let you guys have it.
I can't
it's like
wait
your dream
that.
Job.
It is my well, I get amazing. Paid 5 days a week to rip people through a microphone anyway. Yeah, so what's this is for charity, even better.
Yeah.
More with Adam Thielen after this, and then initials about 15 minutes from now, right here on The Fan. As the sudden wind sings again, and I.